So I'm fighting a cold, and I hope my voice holds out through this. I don't know if you've noticed, but when we went to a movie last week, my husband Jack and I saw there's another Snow White movie out. And then there's one on TV. And then there was this show, Once Upon a Time, that was all the fairy tales rolled into one, and it takes place in the present day and in the past. So I felt like I was a little bit ahead of the game because a while back I wrote an entire chapbook of fairy tales. So I thought tonight I would read three of my takes on the fairy tales, and I thought I would start with Snow White because that seems to be a popular movie tactic right now. This is a letter poem, and I'll let you try to figure out who is the person who writes the letter. Dear SW, thanks for the postcard. Glad you like palace life. Lots of nights I think back to when you lived in our cottage. You swept our floors, emptied our ashtrays, made that chicken stew with moist dumplings floating on top. I remember how you told us the plot to Roman Holiday and sang Moon River at night. Two of my brothers thought bad luck would follow you always. You know, poisoned combs, bad apples. But I knew you would be okay, dear SW, even when I saw you in that glass coffin. And now, there you are in a castle with a moat and all. I know you told me any gnome girl would be proud to have me. But after being your friend, I wanted more. Mostly, I wish I could have been a bigger man. Affectionately, B. The second fairy tale was written after my best friend from college. Her daughter committed suicide when she was 25 years old. And this sparked this poem based on Sleeping Beauty. Advice from the parents of Rosamund, the Sleeping Beauty. First, double-check your guest list for each party. Make sure you leave no one out, even the ones who tire you, especially the ones who can put you to sleep. Next, removing all sharp objects from your kingdom is no guarantee your children won't prick themselves. Then, if your child falls asleep for years, consider it a blessing if you and the cat and the lawn service man fall asleep too. It's easier than watching, waiting by the bedside. And don't assume you will be the one to wake your princess. Trust me on this. She's not dreaming of you. Oh, and finally, learn to measure time differently. The last poem I'd like to read. My worst class in graduate school was a course in Marxist literary criticism. I was so bad at this, and all that came out of it was this poem, which is called Marxist Literary Criticism Looks at the Princess and the Pea. The king and queen tell their son, the drop-dead gorgeous prince, to go and find a real princess. No word of a real job or sharing the wealth with others. Drop-dead gorgeous is not wisdom, discernment. He comes back single. That night it storms, and the royals find a beautiful waif on the palace drawbridge. She claims to be authentic. Actually, she works at the local cannery. Aha, a test. And the queen devises her version of a sure one. Let the wannabe sleep on top of 20 mattresses with a dried pea on the bottom. 20 homeless people huddled under the palace drawbridge, and the potential real person beds down on 20 mattresses. Next morning, the intruder claims her sleep was disturbed, displays a small bruise on her back, and the monarchy welcomes her into the family, admires her sensitive skin, her frailty. Months later, out on the town, downing vodka shots with her union buddies from the Green Giant canning line, the new princess tells them she misses her old job, Doesn't bruise so easily now since her diet is rich in vitamin C. Claims she isn't much impressed by his royal penis. Thank you.
Thank you.